Hello and welcome to Video Nasties. My name is Maxwell Haddad. Thank you for listening. I don't know if I'm just not in a podcasting mood today, or I don't know what it is, but probably going to cut this episode a little short. I also have to take a shit, so that probably has something to do with it. So last night I was going to watch Insidious. I thought that was on Peacock, but it's actually on HBO Max. I will be watching that at some point. I found out that Insidious Chapter 3 is the first movie that Lee Whannell directed. I don't know. I just had this moment where I was like thinking about movies from 2020 because basically I was kind of thinking about like the best. Oh no, I was thinking about like the worst years for movies in the last few years. I would say like 2011 was one of the worst. There was like nothing good that came out that year. And then 2015, that was the year that Spotlight won Best Picture, so that was like a low point for me. And then also 2020, but there was a real reason for 2020, which was COVID. But then I was thinking, like, were there a few like okay movies from that year? And it's like, yeah, there were a few. There was Tenet. There was Freaky Unhinged with Russell Crowe. There was Mank, which I didn't see. And then there was one other one. Oh, The Invisible Man, of course. And then, so that's. From what I've heard, that was like the last movie that a lot of people saw in a theater before the pandemic really hit full on. So apparently Lee Whannell is directing a remake of Escape from New York. I don't know if that's true. The other movie that he's directed is Upgrade, which I liked. That's the best movie he's directed, although I haven't actually seen The Invisible Man yet or Insidious Chapter 3. So, but speaking of Lee Whannell, last night I watched Jigsaw, which is a Saw movie. It might actually be like the last Saw movie, like the final Saw movie. It was not very good. It was actually by the end like just full on ridiculous. But what they're doing now is like they made Spiral. So Darren Lynn Bousman came back. They made Spiral, which I watched. I started. I don't really remember much from it. I didn't like it very much, but it's better than this. But that's from the Book of Saw, so that's a story that takes place in the Saw universe, but it's not like technically a Saw movie. It's not like a straight up Saw movie. So I guess Jigsaw is like the last of those, and it was supposed to be Saw the Final Chapter, but then they brought it back with Jigsaw, seemingly for no particular reason. So again, you get into is Jigsaw dead? Is he not? They even like pull up his coffin, and there's this other guy in it. It's been switched out. I don't know where Jigsaw's body is. The whole thing is so convoluted, but basically, spoiler alert, this dude ends up being like the surrogate for Jigsaw, and then and he has like this hot assistant, and I guess she's like the new assistant, I guess, but it's like never really clear, and then I fell asleep at one point. Anyway, by the end of the movie, this dude's head is being cut open by with lasers. And when it like falls open and you see the CGI effect, it's like CGI gore, and it's just there was just something so like unpleasant and unappetizing and upsetting about it to me that I was just like turned off of the whole fucking movie from that one shot. The dude's head like splits apart like a fucking orange. It's just like there aren't even words for it. It's so bad, it's so ridiculous. Like it's a new low point for Hollywood. Like it's really that bad. Anyway, so that's Jigsaw. I haven't seen all the Saw movies, but I saw that Jigsaw was on Peacock, and I looked it up. It is directed by the Spierig brothers, who directed a movie called Undead, I think, like years ago. They're like these Australian brothers who make these kind of like weird genre movies. I don't really like them. I didn't really like Jigsaw. I mean, it had some moments that were kind of fun. Especially if you're into the series, you know, it's got a lot of like throwbacks and references to the other movies and stuff. But overall, it's just kind of lame, just never really takes off. I mean, pretty much all the Saw movies are like that, besides like the first two. And then the third one, they were still kind of trying to do something interesting, and there was still like an ongoing story there. It hadn't become a formula yet. And then three ends, and that's kind of the end of like that initial trilogy. And then Saw 4 is like, okay, here's the formula. Like let's get it set down in stone. And then Darren Lynn Bousman is like, all right, there's your formula. Peace. He fucks off, and then they just keep making basically the same movie over and over again, which Jigsaw is. It's basically just the same movie again. So something I liked about Spiral was that it was a little different. It was a little bit more of like a police procedural, more like David Fincher's Saw. David Fincher's Saw. Oh my God. David Fincher's Seven. It's early. It's 9:09 a.m. Okay. And it's Thursday, April 28th, 2022. And I'm in Massachusetts. So I feel like I've been saying that a lot or hearing that a lot, that it's like David Fincher's Seven and it's like a police procedural. You know, the new Batman was like that. It's like all these movies are trying to like, I don't know, maybe that's like the new thing, is make everything like a police procedural. And make it dark and try to make it like David Fincher's Seven, try to make it look like that, try to make it feel like that. I don't know, for whatever reason that movie is having like a day, a resurgence. And the other thing is, I don't know, there's almost like more of a focus now on serial killers, as opposed to mass shootings, which I think is good, and it's especially good for film, for movies. I think serial killers are very interesting in movies. So, I mean, Jigsaw, you know, has been a thing for a long time now. But just the way they handled the Riddler, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm just kind of wandering off here. So I first got into Saw, you know, back in the early days. Saw was a movie that I read about. I'm talking about the original Saw. It started out as a short, and then it was an independent, it was like an independent short, and then it was like an independent movie that like kind of blew up. And then Saw 2 comes out, and then, you know, it just kind of takes off from there. Now it's a franchise. It's a horror franchise, one of the most successful in history. To quote Adam Green, it's a juggernaut. I mean, it really is. Especially if you're in the horror world, you kind of have to be impressed by what they were able to do with Saw. They literally created a franchise out of a movie about a serial killer who tortures people. Like, how does that happen? But they did it, and I commend that. So you have a lot of the tropes from Saw. You have like quotes. You have the little puppet. And I enjoy all that stuff. I wouldn't say I'm a huge Saw fan. I like Saw 2 the best. I think that's actually the best Saw movie. But in terms of like post Bousman, post Saw 4. Oh, I have seen Saw 4. Yeah. No, yeah, I knew that. I said that. I even reviewed Saw 4 on here. So Saw 4 is better than this. It's still like kind of like really in that Saw world. This is just basically like, you know, we have like the formula, and it's just we're just following the formula still, even with this one. And this one was supposed to be a little different, I thought. It's also this thing where they're bringing in directors from other countries to make a movie where it's the killer's name is the title of the movie. So it's Leatherface and Jigsaw, I don't know, for some reason, both released in 2017, I think. Leatherface is probably the superior movie. The French gentleman who directed Inside and Livid directed that one, so I've been trying to see that. But anyway, I'm kind of like jumping all over the place here. I'm trying to remember even what I was going to talk about. So give me a second. Oh yeah, so post Saw 4, I think the best Saw movie is Spiral. But again, even that wasn't that great, and I still have to finish that. And it's kind of funny and even a little interesting to watch it now after what happened with Chris Rock at the Oscars. Not that that really changes anything, but I don't know. I just can't ever really see Chris Rock quite the same again. Not that he did anything that horrible. I think Will Smith was really the one who was out of line there. I think Chris Rock was a little out of line. I think the joke was rude, but I don't think it deserved a smack on national television. So, anyway, that's going to do it for Video Nasties. My name is Maxwell Haddad. Oh, I also watch Mallrats, which I hadn't seen in a while. Didn't get very far into it. My cat was yelling at me. Yeah, so Spiral, Mallrats, and I also watched AGFA. American Genre Film Archive, Volume 3 collection on Arrow. I watched this weird kind of like 1976 sci-fi movie. I can't remember the name of it. I kind of dug it, but I also had issues with it. It was kind of fun, and I felt like watching a sci-fi movie. Oh, and I started Battle Beyond the Stars last night, which is a dope Roger Corman movie. Really kind of cool. I can see why it's kind of like one of the more. Oh, Things to Come, it's called. And I think there's a classic science fiction movie called Things to Come also, which I assume is referencing. Anyway, I can't pull up the description because it's going to cut off the episode. So I'm just going to cut off the episode myself now and say thank you for listening. My name is Maxwell Haddad. This show is called Video Nasties. You get a new episode of the show every single night at 8 p.m. So, as always, stay tuned for more. And I may be back on later to add to this episode. I know it's on the shorter side. But I sort of mentioned at the beginning that this might be a shorter episode. So anyway, maybe I'll pull up the description and hop back on just to give you an idea of things to come. If not, peace. If so, I will see you in a moment. Thank you for listening. This is Video Nasties. Okay, so I pulled up the description of Things to Come from Arrow. It is 1 hour, 37 minutes. Sci-fi, 1976, United States, directed by Derek Todd. Excuse me. Quote, a future dystopia dream epic shot in San Antonio. Things to Come finds Julie leaving her marriage to investigate a mysterious sci-fi cult on behalf of frustrated women everywhere. With a soundtrack that feels like it was cribbed from A Clockwork Orange, ambitious sets that look like leftovers from Star Trek, and no lack of robots, computers, and bloody violence, Things to Come is a truly unique techsploitation head trip. Oh, I want to mention one thing. Ow, sorry. Oh, my eye just got really itchy. Yeah, so they're using laser cutters in. Sorry, one second. Okay, sorry. So they're using laser cutters at the end of Jigsaw to slice this dude's head open. And they use them a little bit earlier in the movie, too, as kind of like foreshadowing, I guess. I felt like a fucking idiot watching this movie. I was like, do those actually exist? I mean, is this taking place in a future world? Is this. What's the deal here? Oh, and by the way, Jersey Girl, I think, takes place in the 90s in a weird way. Like, weirdly? I don't know. I just thought of that. Anyway. So yeah, I was thinking about that. But yeah, so I felt like a fucking dumbass watching Jigsaw. I was like, did they cre is this technology that they created for the movie, like sort of like future technology, or does this technology actually exist? Do they actually have laser cutters in like high-tech medical facilities? I don't know. Like, I feel like a fucking moron. I'm like, does this technology exist? Because it still seems futuristic to me. Lasers that cut? I'm gonna look it up and see if they exist. I mean, holograms exist, so who the fuck knows? I mean, even that, I don't know if it exists. I feel like a fucking dumbass. Kanye West had that video years ago of a fucking hologram on his Instagram, and then I never heard anything else about it. I don't even know if it was real. It was probably CGI. I feel like a dumbass sometimes with like some of this shit, some technology shit. I'm like, does that exist already? It still seems like sci-fi to me. But they say we're living in the future, so. Maybe I need to get with it. Anyway, so that's Jigsaw. I wanted to add that about the laser cutters. Is that all I wanted to add about Jigsaw? I can't remember now. I'm in the middle of a text conversation and it's distracting me in a good way. But anyway, the final thing I want to add is that I watched an interview with one David Mamet last night. He's one of the newest guests on the Joe Rogan Experience, which is not a show, not a podcast that I talk about a lot. At one point, it was the most popular podcast in the world, I believe. I don't know if it still is. Joe Rogan, watching it last night, he seems to be pretty kind of like diplomatic, pretty like middle of the, what do they call it? Middle of the aisle. The perception you would have of Joe Rogan is that he leans right if you read about him, but if you watch the show, and especially in the David Mamet episode, he's pretty Switzerland neutral, at least in my estimation. But it's also he's also not up against, but I don't know, I guess juxtaposed against David Mamet, who has totally gone off the deep end, and that's what I wanted to talk about in this. And I don't disagree with everything he says, and I think the point, some of the points that, and I'm talking about Mamet here. Joe Rogan in this episode is kind of like the facilitator, but Mamet's like talking crazy shit. And he has gone off the deep end, but I think some of the points he's making are valid. I just think that he's an old man and he's out of touch. So, and I feel the same way about Brady Sinelis. I just canceled my Patreon membership to him once again for like the 10th time. But that's what I like to do with Brady Sinelis, with the Brady Sinelis podcast. I'll sign up, you know, I'll catch up, listen to a few of the episodes, get annoyed, be like, why am I doing this? And then cancel it. I mean, I do like listening to the show. I do like to stay up on it. I had this weird perception about Patreon that it like showed you the episodes that you're not getting. So I would think like, oh, they're like not even recording new episodes now, these shows that I was following, but it's like, no, you have to sign up as a patron, as a supporter, in order to see the newer episodes. Speaking of Patreon, should I switch Video Nasties to Patreon? I've tried it before and it didn't work. But I'm not making any money on Anchor. Sorry, Anchor, but it's true. So I don't know. I'm considering making the show Patreon only, but then I just feel like I'll lose listenership. Right now, I have a nice listenership. So fuck. Okay, this person's texting me. All right. So David Mamet. He wrote Edmund, which I talked about previously on this podcast. I did mention that it was strangely racist, but it's really the character of Edmund who's racist. Is David Mamet a racist? I don't know what this dude is at this point. He's in his 70s, I believe. I think he was born in the 40s. He's white, Jewish, grew up in a different time, and you can see that in this interview. I mean, he's talking about going back to the Bible, he's talking about the Constitution not being a living document. He's talking about just crazy shit. And a lot of it speaks to what's going on in the country. He talks about prosperity a lot. He seems to like America a lot. Not that that's necessarily a problem. He seems to like the Trump family, which is potentially a problem. And he seems to not be a fan of what's happening in schools. One interesting point that he did make is that, I don't know, I guess he has a friend who's a black woman, and her daughter was in this school, and you know, in California, they're talking about it, what do they call it, the People's Republic of California now or something. I guess their point now is that California exists in this kind of bubble, this kind of liberal bubble, which I kind of like that bubble, and it's one of the reasons why I want to get back to California. But I do see the problems there. I see the cracks. Essentially, the point he was making about his friend was that this woman's daughter was in school, and there was this white woman teaching this young black girl about how black people have been oppressed and that kind of thing. And I guess the mother was upset. Well, you know, why is this woman telling my daughter that black people are oppressed? That's just not true, or something like that. And then David Mamet also made this point that racism effectively doesn't exist anymore, which is an absurd argument, but it's also, you know, maybe there's something to it. But it's also like, it's just, he's making these wild, ridiculous comparisons, saying like lynchings don't exist anymore. So that means racism doesn't exist anymore. Whereas racism is even more sort of like insidious now. Anyway, if I get talking about this stuff too much, I'm just going to sound like a fucking idiot because I don't actually know that much about it. That's why this podcast is not about politics, it's about movies, because that's something that I actually do know a lot about. So anyway, I'm going to go back to this text conversation. Thank you for listening. My name is Maxwell Haddad. If I think of something else that I wanted to mention, I'll hop right back on. You know I will. This show is Video Nasties. where you get a new episode every single day at 8 p.m. There's a new metal album out that I want to listen to. I want to say that band is called Undead, but I'm not sure. Thank you for listening. Peace. Okay, there's one other thing about David Mamet that I wanted to mention. He's like, I got this nice leather jacket. He's like, I got this nice jacket on. And it's, clearly a leather jacket. And I was like, that better be Apple leather. But, I'm not going to be that guy. I'm not going to say, you can't wear a leather jacket. I'm not going to say everything has to be 100% vegan and plant-based. That's not me. I'm not that guy. That would be disingenuous. But I do think you need to be aware of what you're buying. You need to be aware of the source. Clearly, this guy, David Mamet, is. Clearly, he's leaning right now. Clearly, he, I don't know, believes he has a right to wear leather. I don't know. I'm not going to comment on it. I just think the downfall of David Mamet is interesting. Thank you for listening. Peace. Okay, so there is something I want to add to this episode because I remembered some things about Things to Come, the movie I watched last night, which apparently is a Texploitation movie, which I didn't even know existed. I'm assuming that stands for Texas Exploitation. I guess the movie was shot there. I don't know where. It's from the 70s, and I'm gonna go into what I remembered about the movie in a moment. But first, I'm gonna take this hit. I just picked up some more dank Brownie Scout from Rhythm. The guy told me, the budtender told me it's a different company that owns Rhythm, I guess. I forget what he said the name was, though. Anyway, this shit is fire. And speaking of fire, smoke if you got 'em. Chin chin. Okay, so yeah, I watched this movie Things to Come, and it takes place in this weird futuristic society, and it's about this woman who's in this, I guess, unhappy marriage. She ends up leaving her husband, I think. And most of the movie, as far as what I remember, is a dude sitting on the couch, staring at the television, watching these strange shows from the future, which are essentially softcore pornography. That's what I remember from this movie. Thank you for listening. This is Video Nasties.